Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcasts. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you. Jesus is calling, "Oh sinner, come home." That's all of us before Christ. None of us are righteous, no, not one. That's what he talks about over here in verse 8, that he died for us while we were still sinners. All right, well, we're back in the book of Romans, and remember we've been talking about that, and the whole theme of the book of Romans is really the righteousness from God that comes through faith. The righteousness of God that comes through faith. That's the only way we can be righteous. We can't work our way in. We can't be baptized in or any other way. Communion or any other thing doesn't get us into heaven. But the only way to get to heaven is to ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. Good works don't play a part. The Bible says that we work after we're saved to show that we have been saved. But until then, we can't do any good works because we don't have God in us to do the good works. So when we got to chapter 5, we've been looking at this section, how we've proved that everybody's a sinner, everybody's guilty before God. And then we finally got to the place in chapter 4 where we saw that Abraham and David were both saved by faith, even though Abraham was the great father of the faith, and David, even though he was a great mighty man, he was considered a mighty sinner too, because he killed many people and he wasn't a good father and committed adultery and all these things, but God saved him the same way. And so when we get to chapter 5, he starts out, we got to the first couple of verses last week and we talked about four of the benefits of trusting Christ, or four reasons to trust Christ, or you could also call it, we did four reasons, which there's a total of 11, but 11 reasons to know that we truly are saved and God's going to forgive us and save us because He already has. Because our security is sure if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So he starts out and he says, therefore, he says basically, because of everything that I just got through saying in four chapters, having been legally declared righteous by faith, that's what that word justified means, he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about the first benefit was peace with God, that we're no longer enemies and sinners, but we get the peace with God, and then when we get that, we also get the peace of God, that peace within our heart and our minds. And then he said, we have access by faith. And that meant an introduction to grace or being ushered into the presence of a king. And so we have access to God in the Old Testament. They couldn't even draw near God. And then he says, "We in this grace in which we stand, we have a permanent secure position in grace because the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And then we talked about the last one. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, that one day because we've trusted Jesus Christ, we can exult, we can boast in the fact that one day Jesus is coming back to get us. We don't have to worry about it because if we've truly trusted Christ, we know that we know that we know if we die today that we're going to heaven and one day He's going to make us like Him. So let's look at the fifth benefit today, see how far we can get. I want to read verses 3 through about 8 just to see how far we're going to get today. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, and he says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So today we want to get to the next one, and Paul moves from the brightness of our hope, and all of a sudden he begins to talk about these dark circumstances that surround our present time. Because the Bible says that every single one of us are going to go through trouble and tribulation and problems. And one man said that this was really tribulation because of being a believer. But it could be that, plus just life's tribulations all around. But that word tribulation, it means to be caught between a rock and a hard spot. We glory in tribulations. We exult in tribulations. Why do we exult in tribulations? Because we know that God is doing something in our life, right? We don't enjoy trouble, do we? We don't enjoy that at all. But there's an old saying that's been famous for a long, long time. And it says, no pain, no gain. Y'all know that one. And it seems like everything there is in life, that no matter what we do, if there's no pain, there doesn't seem to be no gain. I mean, the Army, the Navy, and all those people, when they put people through the basic training and those kind of things, what do? They push them to their limits to see what they're made of. But they also, in turn, cause these men and women to draw on those things inside of them that they're in there. And some of them didn't know what they had inside of them, and they begin to pull things out of them that they didn't know were in there, and they become better out of that. Well, I think they took that principle straight out of the Bible, because the Army and the Navy, all these people say, if you want to be all you can be, join the Army or the Navy or the service, the Marines, whatever. But you know what? If you want to be all that God intended you to be, join God's Army. And He'll make you all that He intends you to be. And He'll do that, like I said, through those tribulations, through those problems. And James talks about that. Remember, James says, count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that, what? Knowing that the testing of our faith produces what? Endurance, right? And let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. We glory, we're able to boast and exalt and rejoice in tribulations. We don't rejoice in the fact that we're going through hard times, but we rejoice in the fact that they are making us into better people. And that's the whole point of that. John 16:33b says, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And some of my favorite verses are in Psalms, where he says in Psalm 62:6, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. And you know, I think about the one that I've had in my old Bible that I've had since I was a kid that I got in Sunday school. I don't know if they gave it to me for memorizing some verses or whatever. I think I went to vacation Bible school during the summer. I've got my granddaddy's obituary in First Samuel 22, where he says, I think it's First Samuel. I always get my first and seconds mixed up. But it's either First or Second Samuel, and he says that God is my rock and my fortress, my high tower, my strength. You know, God is our strength. He is our refuge. And that's the point of this whole section, is that God loves us. And even though we go through difficult times, even though we go through hard times, He says here that we know that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So the first thing we see here is we're able to rejoice in those trials, right? And then he talks about giving us perseverance and character hope What is that word, perseverance? Perseverance is really being made stronger, right? Endurance, that's that same word that James uses. It makes you stronger. What's the old saying? What doesn't kill you does what? Makes you stronger. Straight out of your Bible right here. And that's what it says right here. But God doesn't intend to kill us, right? God just wants to make us stronger. Remember, trials can make us either bitter or better, right? And Peter talks about over there in 1 Peter 1, he talks about, though you've been grieved by various trials, that the what? The genuineness of your faith may come forth, and you may come forth as what? Pure gold. So what happens when you put gold in the fire? The gold doesn't burn up, but what burns up? The junk in it, right? All the impurities, all the things. And one man said it this way. He was asking the goldsmith, and he would heat up the gold, and it would all the junk would float to the top, and he'd scoop that junk off the top, and then he'd say, and then he'd heat it up some more junk would float to the top, and he'd scoop it off. And the guy says, "Well, how do you know when the gold's ready?" And he says, "When I can see my reflection in it." That means it's pure, right? And that's what God wants to look down and see us, see His reflection in Him. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and do what? Glorify our Father in heaven." We get perseverance. We get stronger. Like I said, we get stronger so that we can handle more stuff. And that's what the Bible does. It you know, as we live the life of a Christian, it makes us stronger and stronger and stronger to live the Christian life as we go through the trials and the troubles, as we have faith and we trust God, and we go through these trials and these tribulations, that it produces that strength inside of us. And then what does He do there? He produces that character, right? Think about what He told Paul. He says, 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul prayed 3 times for that thorn in the flesh to go away. And God said to him in 2 Corinthians 12:9, He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me." Our character is tested and proven by trials. And that word character right here should really be translated proven character. That word means to be, speaks like I said a minute ago about a metal purified by fire. Jeremiah 17 verse 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit." So no matter what comes along, we got our hope in the Lord, and we'll be like a tree that's always got water, because we got the ultimate source. We've got God above us. And so we won't cease yielding fruit. And you know, as we talked about that when we were in John 15, that as we get trimmed back, as we go through trials, as we go through trouble, what happens? We bear more fruit, right? Because when you trim a bush back, what happens? It comes up with 3 or 4 or 5 little sprouts off of where one spot was at, right? I planted a little bush in the yard that my wife had dug up out the back, and I thought it was about dead, and we clipped it back and stuck it in the ground, and I watered it, and another one looked good, and it was dying off everywhere. It's got one little sprout on it now, but the one that looked so dead that we clipped back so far, I guess that was what did the trick, and it's got little sprouts coming out everywhere all over it now. But because of being clipped back, now it's stronger. I guess I should have clipped off of that other one, but I thought it looked pretty good when I put it in the ground. But my wife clipped that other one back good, and I was like, "Oh, I don't think it's going to make it. I don't think it's going to make it." But once it comes out, it's going to look better than the other one ever did, I think, for a while anyway. And so that word tribulation comes from the word, Latin word tribulum, and a tribulum was a heavy piece of timber with spikes in it that was used for threshing the grain. The tribulum was drawn over the grain and separated the wheat from the chaff. In other words, God wants to get all the junk out of our life, right? The newborn child of God is precious in God's sight, But the tested and proven saint means even more to him, because such a one is living in the demonstration of the character of the developing power of the gospel. In other words, God can use us a whole lot more if we've been tested through the fire, right? I was thinking about a young man that's helped us some, and he started trying to help us, and he's only been saved a couple of years, but it's amazing the growth that he has had in his life and the way he has grown as a Christian. And I think about that, but, you know, recently he just really, I think because he wanted to do something for the Lord, and I've seen this so many times, that when people say they want to do something for the Lord, it seems like the devil just turns everything loose on them, and God's really testing people and the devil's tempting people to see, are you really going to serve me? Are you going to let the trials and the troubles and the things of life? And so many times people's lives get so busy and so crazy, and he just got attacked everywhere through his wife and everything, and just everything went crazy. His job got busy. He started working a lot of overtime, and just thing got crazy. And for a while, he just took a nose spin, and he just went and kind of hit the ground. And I wasn't sure if he was going to get back up or not. But it looks like he's getting back up. So pray for him. But he's really growing in the Lord, and he's got some gifts. But he hasn't been proven through the trials yet. He's got it all, got a lot up here, but he hasn't had the experience yet. And that's what this whole thing's talking about. As we go through those trials, as we go through those troubles, as we go through those difficult situations, it makes us into the person that God can really use. One man said it this way: when we stand in the presence of God, all material possessions will have been left behind, but all that we have gained by way of spiritual advance will be retained. So all this junk is going to be left behind, but all the stuff that we've gained for God, the things He's taught us, that's what He's preparing for us in heaven. You know, all of this is just preparation for heaven, right? Who we're going to be in heaven. I mean, think about those people that Jesus spoke to, and the servants, the one had the one talent, which I believe spoke of a person that didn't know the Lord. And then one had two talents and one had five talents. And that was speaking of the stewardship of money and all of our possessions and everything. And what happened? The one guy, he wasn't really truly saved, and he just went and hid God's gifts and abilities and things all in the ground. And the one that had two talents, he used them to the utmost of his ability. And God says, enter into the joy of the Lord, and I've got 10 cities for you to be over. And the guy that used his talents to the best of his ability, even though he had five talents, God said the same thing: I'll make you ruler of 10 cities. So God gave the two-talent man that amount, and God gave the five-talent man that amount. And so you can't fault a guy for having two and five if that's what you gave him. And so they used what they had to the best of their ability, and God rewarded them the same because they had used them to the best of their ability. And so as we think about this section, you know, we really have to realize that God wants to use us, but trials and tribulations are the things that we go through, and that proves our character, and character produces hope. And I think we've talked about this before, that as we go through one trial and we see what God did in that trial, that gives us hope that the next time when something gets tougher and something gets harder and something gets bigger, that what's God going to do? He's going to be right there with us through it, right? I mean, I always talk about Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3, or Isaiah 42, verse 2 and 3. But he talks about, I'll be with you when you pass through the waters, and the waters will not overflow you. And I'll be with you when you pass through the fire, and the fire will not burn you nor scorch you. And I was thinking about that song, maybe I can remember where we sing that. It talks about some through the water and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. You know, all of us have to go through trials and troubles in this life. But God gives us hope, because guess what? as we go through those troubles and we see what God has done in our life, we know that the next time we get somewhere, that what's He going to do? He's going to be with us, right? He didn't remove Daniel from the lion's den. He didn't remove Joseph from the prison. He didn't remove David from being sought out by Saul. He didn't remove Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire when they wouldn't bow down and worship the king. But He was in the fire with them. You know, when the king looked down, he says, "I see one like the Son of God in there with them." We have hope. Think about David. He said, "I killed a lion with my bare hands, and I killed the bear with my bare hands. And how much more can I kill this uncircumcised Philistine giant?" He had hope because he knew that if he'd done this in the past through the power of God, what could he do in the future, right? And that's what we need to realize, that God, as we trust Him and step out in faith, and He works on us and works in us, He's doing a great work. I was thinking about that verse over in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm not going to be able to quote it, so I'm going to have to read it. But Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that chastening. You know, chastening is not always it's kind of the same thing, but we don't always go through chastening because God has disciplined us for bad, but He also chastens us because it's part of our trials and it's right part of our trouble. And He says, "Now no chastening," in verse 11 of chapter 12 says, "seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness by those who have been," what? "Trained by it." But if you don't get trained by it, guess what happens? You have to go back through the trouble again because you didn't learn the lesson, right? If you don't learn a lesson, what do you have to do? It's like you go through school and you don't learn the lessons and you don't pass the test, what happened? They put you back and they make you go through the classes again, right? Well, that's what God does. I told a guy that one time because he wouldn't learn, and he got mad at me and wouldn't ever talk to me ever again after that. I said, "Man, if you don't start learning the lessons, you're going to keep going through the same troubles over and over and over again." And I even had a tape or something, MP3 player with David Jeremiah on it, was saying the exact same thing, and let him listen to it. And that was the last time he ever talked to me. He didn't want to talk to me anymore because he didn't want to learn the lessons. He didn't want to bear down and do what he's supposed to do. And from what I understand, he's not doing real good right now either. And he was a guy that had problems with alcohol in the past. And from what I understand, he's fell back all into it. So now he's in trouble because he's not learned the lessons. But when you learn the lessons, it produces perseverance and character hope. And he says in verse 5, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Hope doesn't disappoint because the Bible tells us who is our hope. Jesus is our blessed hope, right? The next benefit we have is that we have the love of God poured out in our hearts. And this is really God showing us that He loves us, right? Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." And then in Titus 3:4 through 6, he says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." As we think about that, the love of God is poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This is a subjective and it's an emotional experience that we can feel the very love of God because we know that He loves us. And that's a great feeling because sometimes, you know, in this old world, we don't feel like anybody else loves us, but you know what? We can always depend on the fact that God loves us and God cares for us and that He will never leave us nor forsake us, right? He loves us, and I think about this, is if we could be as close to God all the time as we are when we go through troubles, we'd be in good shape. But for those who are truly believers and truly don't let trials and trouble make them bitter, but make them better, and we let those things happen, we let the tribulation produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. As we trust God, we draw so close to the Savior during those difficult times, don't we? But then when everything's going good, what do? We kind of just slide on away, and then we get out there, and then we need God again, and He has to send some trouble our way to draw us back closer to Him, doesn't He? And that's kind of the way it goes. That's the cycle of man and woman. Man is a men and women, and all of us as human beings, that we draw close to God, and then He draws close to us, and then we get out there and think we got it all under control, and then we do our thing, and then we get in trouble, and then we cry out to God, and God hears finally, and He hears all the time, but He finally delivers us out after we repent and cry out to Him, and then He delivers us, and we draw up close to Him again, and then what do? Slide away again, right? That's kind of the way things happen. Let's finish this little verse here, and he says that we've got the love of God poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And that's the next benefit, that we have the Holy Spirit that was given to us. And really in this section, in verse 1, he progresses from faith, verses 2 through 5, to hope, and to verse 5 and on, he progresses to love. Faith, hope, and love. And that's, you know, the great themes of the Bible, that God is the one who He gives us His Holy Spirit. We talked about that before in Ephesians 1:13, that He says that the moment we heard the word of truth, the moment we believed, the moment we trusted, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that's what God does, and He is the guarantee. He's the earnest, the arabon, the wedding band, the engagement ring, that He's the promise that God is coming back to get us. So that's another benefit. And the Bible says in Romans 8:9, we'll talk more about the Holy Spirit in chapter 8. But he talks about chapter 8, verse 9. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. Some of these people say, well, you get saved and later on you get the Holy Spirit. No, the Bible says you get the Holy Spirit the moment you heard the word of truth, the moment you believed, the moment you trusted. At that moment you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's the guarantee that one day that He's coming back to get you. He's the guarantee into the redemption of the purchased possession. He purchased us on the cross. And one day He's coming back to redeem us and totally and completely make us like Him. So why don't we stop right there today, and we'll just kind of move on into the next section next week. Try to finish this up next week. But think about this, that God uses trials, God uses tribulation. These things are not curses, they're really blessings. There's a book that my wife read, or there's a song out there this lady wrote, and I can't think of her name, but she says, what if our troubles were really blessings in disguise? And they are. I mean, that's what the Bible says, that troubles are really blessings in disguise. Like I said, we don't like to go through the pain, and we don't like to go through the suffering. But on the other side of that pain and on the other side of that suffering, we have a deeper knowledge of God. We're a better person because He has truly refined and worked in our character, and He has truly made us into a better person. And He has strengthened us, He's encouraged us, and He's given us hope, and we have a stronger relationship with Him. That's the main point I want to make today, is that as we go through trouble and trials, we get these things from God. Sad that I guess that we have to go through these things to become like that, but it doesn't seem like we on our own want to grow, and so many times God has to bring things into our life to make us like Him, to cause us to depend on Him, to draw near to Him. Let's close and let's pray today. Father, we just thank You for this time. We thank You again for Your mercy and Your grace and Your love. We thank You for Jesus. And if there's one here today, as we sang a minute ago, about softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. If there's one that's never truly trusted You today as Lord and Savior today, they would cry out, Lord Jesus, save me, because they believe that Jesus died on the cross. He died for their sins, and he died in their place, and there's nothing they can do to earn it and deserve it, to pay for it. But as the old song says, Jesus paid it all. So Father, just work in our hearts, and for those that know, those of us that know you already today, Lord, I just pray that we would continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would realize that trials can make us better, and we would just trust you during those trials and count it all joy and ask for wisdom, as James says, as we go through the difficult times. So Father, just work in our lives, and we just thank you for loving us enough to discipline us and to work in our lives and to try to make us more like you each and every day. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right, and their cries, we want to have a real family. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button. And we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you, and God bless you.